seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I again direct you to the first epistle, General Peter, chapter 5 and the 7th verse. The first epistle, General Peter, chapter 5 and verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. The first epistle, General Peter, chapter 5 and verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. You will remember that we looked a little this morning at those three precious things. First, the cares of the Lord's people, and then the sweet instruction of heaven to cast them all upon him, that glorious Redeemer, the dear Lord Jesus. I want us help this afternoon to look a little at this second clause, for he careth for you. We will begin by asking you this question. Is this the great concern of your heart and of mine, to know that he cares for us? You think of it this afternoon in your soul and mine. Do we truly desire for him to whisper such a word as this to us, for he careth for you? The first thing that we would notice is this. It is personal. As dear Peter wrote this to the tribes scattered abroad, he had that sweet assurance from heaven that the Lord cared for them. And as the Lord's messenger, he conveys this to them. Amidst all the cares and burdens that they had, he sweetly assures them that the Lord cared for them. And one's fervent desire is that we might each personally know this. Really, you'd be a happy soul here this afternoon if the Lord were pleased to tell you this, for he careth for you. He'd sweep away all the unbelief, all the doubts. The soul would be melted with his love and tender care. There are several ways as helped. I want to just bring before you the Lord's loving care to his dear people. Really, we could begin by looking at it concerning the wonderful care manifested by the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We think of the first, the loving care of God the Father in sending his beloved Son into this earth. Why did he send him? Because he cared for his dear people. And why did he care for them? Because he loved them. It's like a loving mother. She cares for her little child, doesn't she, or her babe, because she loves it. This is why she cares for it. And secondly, she cares for it because it's part of her. And think about it spiritually. Does the Lord not care for his dear people because he loves them? Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn thee. And then he cares for them because they're part of him. They're his mystical body. Just as we have our bodies naturally, so there is the body, the Church of Christ. and each part of our body, its various faculties, its limbs are all part of that body, and so the Lord has his dear people, and they're all part of him. He is the head. They are parts of the body. We think of that sacred verse of the hymn in that 968th hymn. The dear hymn writer said, "Can a woman's tender care cease to ward the child she bear? Yes, she may forgetful be, yet I will remember thee." And you think how God the Father so cared for his dear bride, his church, that he sent his beloved Son into this earth. Oh, on that glorious day of his birth, how was manifested to those favoured souls how he cared for his dear people by sending his beloved Son. But then think of how willing the precious Son of God was to come. He came because he cared for his bride. And you may have wondered why we read together that sacred chapter in Luke's Gospel of the crucifixion. Ever since this text came, it's been resting upon me so much, the loving care of the Saviour to his dear bride, his church, and how he so cared for them that he was willing to lay down his precious life and to suffer for them and to bleed. Here we see blessed care, sacred care of his dear church, because without him suffering, without him bleeding, without him dying, she must surely perish in her sin. Oh, the blessed care of the Saviour to his dear people. For he careth for you. And you know, if the Holy Spirit lead us by faith to Calvary, to view a little what he endured, we shall see there how he cares for us. Midst all our sin, but oh, how he cares too for his dear people as they walk this earth. I was thinking, and it seemed to drop in very sweetly in thinking of this text, and one thought of that occasion, it seemed to come quite powerfully when the dear disciples were instructed by the Saviour in Mark chapter 4 to get into a ship. And we read, and when they had, when he had sent away the multitude, they took ship even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, saying, say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? They thought he didn't care for them because of this storm. See how unbelief soon creeps in and doubts. There may be those of you plagued with doubts and fears this afternoon. You think of these dear disciples. And what did they say to him? Master, carest thou not that we perish? And then he manifests to them how he did care for them. both for their lives and for their souls. And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Oh, we see there in the sea that wonderful care of the Saviour to his dear disciples. And whatever you may have to wade through, poor soul, in your pilgrimage journey from this time forth, may you know and may we each personally the tender, loving care of the Saviour. For he careth for you. And then we think how he cares for his dear people, even providing for them each day. Let me just remind you of two beautiful illustrations of this in the precious Word of God, how he cared for those throughout the Old Testament. Firstly, think of the children of Israel as they journey through the wilderness. They needed his care. The way was difficult. The way was rough. You may say, well, that's how it is with me today and in all that I'm in. But you look how he cared for them, firstly, in protecting them from all their enemies and from all their the dangers. And why did he care for them? Because his love was toward them. And you know, do we not need that care of the Lord surrounding us today to protect us from Satan? And from the enemies that surround the child of God? Mighty enemies without, the hymn writer said, much mightier within. Because he cares for his dear people, he protects them. And you think of dear David, how the Lord wonderfully cared for him and protected him right the way through his life. If ever a man knew many dangers, dear David did. Surrounded by the Philistines, buffeted continually and hunted as a partridge upon the mountains by Saul. All the inward trials too, but David knew, and you read through the Psalms how he speaks of the Lord's wonderful care and favour toward him. For he careth for you. And David was to have the sweet assurance of this in the Lord's wonderful protection. But the two cases I was going to name is this, in the care and providing for his dear people, their daily bread. We think of the children of Israel as they journey through the wilderness. You look how the Lord gave them that bread from heaven every day. The manna descended. And what was it? A beautiful illustration. The Lord's care toward them. How many times have we felt melted as we've sat down at our table to partake of a meal, and how many times have we really seen the Lord's care in providing for us? It's very sacred when we can feel a soft heart as we view his care, providing for us. And I think of the late pastor at Blackboys, Mr. Jabez Field. I remember, you know, he said on one occasion that they'd hardly got anything to eat in the house. And he said, his wife said, "I've only got a part of a loaf to feed all the children and her husband." And she said, "I don't know what we'll do after that's gone." But she cut it. She said, "I cut it and I cut it and I cut it, and they were all filled." And she said, "The Lord wonderfully provided. Is anything too hard for the Lord?" You see, those dear souls, they saw the continual care of the Lord providing for them. Oh, they did. And why was it? Because they were dependent upon him. Now, many sweet things I could say of this, because, you know, it's wonderful to see the Lord open his hand and his tender care toward his people, providing for them both in providence and in grace. Now look at it spiritually before I come to the second part of this. How many times when you've been in deep need and you come into the house of God here, or it may be elsewhere, and you've been in such deep need, your soul is hungering and thirsting after Christ, and it may be through the hymn that we sing, or the reading of God's word, or it may be in the preaching, and the Lord has wonderfully assured you that he cares for you, and he's opened the gospel table for you, and you've been able to feed upon a precious Christ, upon his word, upon his sufferings, upon his death, for he careth for you. But then we think too of dear Elijah. Oh, you look how many times the Lord manifested his loving care toward that dear man of God. Well, you think of the brook Cherith. There he was. And all that great drought there was in the land. And hunger was rampant. And we know not in this nation what we may yet come to, or the nations of the earth. But the Lord has promised to care and provide for his dear people, whether that be naturally or spiritually. And you think how the Lord sent those ravens to feed Elijah. What did he prove? The loving care of his God. I often quote that word. It's a beautiful word. "Thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing." And you know the Lord does open. He did to Elijah, didn't he? And why did he open his hand? And because he cared for Elijah. And there they brought the bread and flesh in the morning, and again in the evening. And then when the brook dried up, would the care of the Lord to Elijah cease? No. What does he say to the dear man? "Arise and go into Zarephath, for there I have commanded a widow woman to sustain me." And oh, you look how the care of the Lord was toward him. There the Lord provided for that dear widow woman and for dear Elijah and for her family. For he careth for you, the dear Lord, for he, you see. Let's put the emphasis where it should be here. For he, no man, the Lord himself, cares for his dear people. And then, oh, you think of Elijah when he was on Mount Carmel. how the Lord so cared for him. He felt he was the only one left, but he sought to prove to the prophets of Baal who was the living God in Israel. And you look how the Lord cared for him by answering his prayer. You know, it's a wonderful proof the Lord cares for his people when he answers their prayers. And you think how the Lord answered the prayer of Elijah when he begged of the God of heaven to send that fire from heaven. And the Lord sent it because he cared for the dear man. Look how solemn it was concerning the worshippers of Baal. Their gods didn't care for them, did they? Why? Because they were dead gods. Oh, may we have the God of heaven, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, and the God of Elijah as our God caring for us. Oh, that tender, loving care, you see. And the arms of the Lord surround his dear people because he cares for them. And not only do they surround them, these blessed arms, but they're underneath them because he cares for them. To hold them up and to hold them on. And you look under the juniper tree when the dear man was fleeing from a woman, Jezebel. And look how the Lord cared for him. First of all, by providing those cakes baking on the coals. And secondly, by raising the dear Elijah up and assuring him that there were those 7,000 that had not bowed their knee nor worshipped Baal. The Lord knew where they were. And his care was toward the dear man of God. May you think of your prayers and mine. May we have further sweet tokens of his loving care toward us. And then he so cares for his dear people because he's provided the throne of grace where they can approach unto him. Here we see again the loving care of the Lord, providing that throne so you can venture to the throne of grace in all your need. And there is above it, you see, the eternal God hearing, answering prayer. There he says, I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat. And then think of, just a step back to what we looked at a little earlier, the dear Redeemer at Calvary, laying down his precious life. And as we gather around the Lord's table, may we not just consider it there, though he did say, this do in remembrance of me, but may we consider continually his loving care in laying down that precious life, that he might take it again. And as he took it again, he manifested that love and care again. You know, we need it conveyed to us continually, don't we? Well, I do. I'll leave the other with you. But he says, casting all your care upon him. And then he seals it home. And I don't know what those cares may be with you and in your heart and in your pathway this afternoon, but the Lord does, casting all your care upon him, and then listen, for he careth for you. And may the Lord sweetly convey that to your poor soul and mine. And I'll tell you what the effect of it will be. If the Lord seals that home to you, you'll know what it is for your soul to be lifted above all the things that weigh you down. You'll know what it is for you to be delivered from all the sins that plague you. If I may just give a personal note on this. come so I will name it. And that is many years ago, and I've told you before, but I was driving down Goudhurst Hill. And I was in such a low place. I felt as I went down that hill I was going to sink into utter despair. And I verily felt I wouldn't rise any more. And you know, as I went down that hill, the Lord dropped those beautiful lines of the hymn into my soul, and I've never forgotten them. And they were these: I've bound the up secure midst all the rage of hell. And you know, instead of sinking into despair, he lifted me right up out of this earth. I didn't know really whether I was in the earth or where I was. And all that, you look back at that, I look back at that and see the loving care of the Lord, you see. Those of you that may be in a low place today, he cares for you, even when you're in a low place. He cares for you so that he'll bring you up out of that low place. It's like the dear Redeemer when he was laid in the tomb there in that garden. And I speak it with much reverence. He was to rise triumphant from it all. Oh, he was. And because he cares for his dear people, he rose for them. And he will raise them. Now, as we've known, his loving care while we are here through this pilgrimage journey, oh, may we know it in the swellings of Jordan. The Lord caring for us. He that has taken the sting out of death by suffering, bleeding, dying, and rising again. And may we have that sweet foretaste of heaven in our souls, the sweet assurance that he cares for us through life, and he will care for us in those great, that great day of death. Well, I must leave it because of the ordinance, but may this sweet word of our text, it's not our word, it's the Lord's word. And I feel it, the message today, for my soul, and may it be to each of us. Casting. It's clear. It's precise. And that's how the Lord works. Casting all your care, those great cares, those small cares, upon him, leaving them at his dear feet. What does the hymn writer say? He has engaged to manage all by the way and to the end, for he careth for you. Well, may the Lord sweetly apply the word to us for his name's sake. Amen.